You're listening to the Intuitive Souls Podcast. I am your host, Erica Russo, psychic medium and intuitive development coach. This show is all about giving you the conversations, tools, and wisdom you need to live life the intuitive way. Whether you are waking up, wanting to develop your intuition and connection to spirit, or wanting to live a more magical life, I got you covered. I give you grounded, practical, and insightful content that helps you wake up, level up, and connect with your soul. I'm excited you're here. Let's wake up together. Hey guys, welcome to the Intuitive Souls Podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. I'm really excited that you're here. If you are an OG, you keep coming back. You keep learning, growing, listening, expanding, learning to trust your intuition, living every day with intention. I love you. Thank you for being you. Thank you for supporting my small business. Thank you for listening. I appreciate every single download. I appreciate every single like, every single comment. Just, I really do appreciate you guys. You're making my dreams come true. And I am just so eternally grateful for the opportunity to have this podcast, to have these conversations, to talk about the things I want to talk about. And actually, just, you guys are great. I love you. Thank you so much. If this podcast is helping you, if the conversations are giving you insight, if they are giving you aha moments, if they're giving you encouragement to trust your intuition, to tap into it a little bit more, to lean into love, to surrender a bit more to the universe, if you can head on over to iTunes and write a 5-star review, those reviews allow me to get this podcast to the ears that need to hear it. And I think we can all agree now more than ever, these conversations and these subjects are things that can really help the world. Once you go ahead and you, before you click submit, make sure you take a picture or a screenshot and send it to me at hello@ericarusso.co, no M, and I'm going to send you something, probably subliminals, maybe an ebook, I don't know. I'm just going to kind of tune in and see what I feel like will help you at that moment when I receive that email. So again, thank you guys so much for your support. I know I say this every episode, but I truly do. I'm so grateful for this opportunity, and I hope that these conversations and these topics are helping you. I hope that they are guiding you. I hope that they are making you feel better. Whatever it is, I'm really happy that you're here. So with that being said, before we dive into November's astrology forecast with Hannah, I want to just remind you guys that my new 12-month mentorship experience is still open for enrollment. This is really something I am so fucking excited about. This is really my life's work all in one program. What you're going to get is one-on-one access with me each month, as well as access to a mastermind group twice a month, and on top of a one-year membership of the Intuitive Life Society, you're going to get access to every course, every training, every coaching program that I will be launching for the whole year. If this is something that you feel interested in, if this is something that you feel like it's your next step, please go ahead and head on over to my website, www.ericarusso.co, and fill out an application. You can also check, you know, a little bit more information on what it really entails. But when I tell you right now, I am like so excited for it. Our first mastermind is, when is it going to be? November 15th. And this is a beta program, so the price is very, very low. So if you are considering this, I highly suggest heading on over and putting in an application before November 12th, because that's when the price is going to be raised. With that being said, let's go ahead and hear all about the stars for November 2021 with Hannah. I wish everybody a very happy month. I wish everybody a month of healing, or however good it can be, I hope it's that good. Let's leave it that way. All right, guys, enjoy this week's episode and I'll see you soon.
All right. It's November.
Yeah. It's November. I know. It's just, it's insane to me that we're just peering towards the end of the year and 2022 is like just waving, just saying hello, peeking its head around the corner.
Yeah. I was just, it's every time right after Halloween, I get into that introspective mode where I just start looking at the year and like everything that happened. Mm-hmm. So it's very sentimental, I guess.
It is. Yeah. And that's such a classic like Scorpio season indicator, is that internal reflection and that draw to just kind of go inward and process and review. And also, yeah, like you're saying, there's a nostalgia there too. I think all of the water signs in general have this connection to our families, to our past, to our emotions. And so there is this very kind of emotive reflection that comes with this time of year. And especially for us that live in the Northern Hemisphere, I mean, the leaves are falling off the trees, you know, the weather's getting cooler. There's just that seasonal cue that it's time to start winding down. You know, we're headed into the winter months where we have to do our best to get through the darkness and, you know, renew ourselves so we can start something new on the other side.
Very much so.
Yeah.
You guys really do. You water signs, you guys are up in your fields.
We are.
It's good. It's definitely good, but it's definitely, I don't know. It's just very bittersweet. Like that's like the feeling that I get just reviewing the year and being like, wow, there's 2 months left.
Absolutely. And you know, November for us in general has a very interesting signature. And for those of us that have been watching the transits for the year, we've had our eye on November because we have some very catalytic energy, perhaps. mid-month. And a lot of that is just bringing to a head some, you know, the tensions that we've all been dealing with throughout the course of the year. And I say that in the sense that this isn't anything new. These are issues that we've all long been dealing with collectively since, you know, really the beginning of the year. And that's all sparked by those Uranus Saturn squares that have been kind of repeating themselves. So we have a lot of energy that's building up to bring us to kind of this finality towards the end of the year next month. But, you know, there's just a lot that we're working through personally and we'll get that, but we'll get to that in a second. But I think the way that we started this episode is just kind of the perfect introduction to Scorpio season, because it is that very elusive time of year. It's the depths of fall here in the Northern Hemisphere. You know, the days are growing darker. And so like we were discussing, Erica, it's just this natural signal to ourselves that it's time to tune into the wisdom of our emotions. It's time to feel the power and the magic of our intuition. It's time to think about and review and reflect into the past. And maybe that's honoring our ancestors through, you know, cultural celebration. For us, as we're recording, it was Halloween yesterday. And so the next couple of days is also marked by, you know, All Saints Day or All Souls Day, which a lot of people celebrate. But there is this feeling of connection to you know, our past and our loved ones in spirit. So, you know, Scorpio season really brings that awareness to the cycle of life and death, right? The cycle of nature that includes endings and decay. And I think death is a topic that as humans, we naturally tend to shy away from, especially in modern Western culture. You know, death is still a very taboo subject that a lot of people struggle to talk about and to discuss and to just put our feelings and words into. And death is, of course, the ultimate transformer. And so it's naturally tied to the fixed water sign of Scorpio. And you'll be able to relate to this, Erica, because you are so familiar with tarot. And in tarot, Scorpio is the death card.
I was just going to ask you that.
So it's the death card. And so just like that card, Scorpio, I feel like is so misunderstood, right? You know, when you do a session for someone, Erica, or you're using cards and people are just like, they see the death card laid, you know, being laid down on their spread and they're like, oh my God, holy shit, what is happening? Yeah. Who's dying, right? People fear receiving the death card. But you and I know that receiving the death card can actually
be a great thing.
Yes, it can be such a gift or a blessing, you know, a blessing that you have the energy of an ending and you have this amazing transformation that's coming your way. So the death card, like Scorpio, offers us the gift of perspective amidst breakdowns, whether that is an actual loss or death in our family or in our life. Maybe we experience losing someone, but maybe it's the death of a relationship that needed to end. Maybe it's the ending of a job that wasn't fulfilling. Maybe it's even spiritual or ego death, right? But it's an ending that also brings this feeling of grief. It could be pain. It could be also just, you know, the fear of letting go. So I think there's, yes, like you're saying, a bittersweetness to this energy, but it's also the reminder that every ending is the opportunity for something new to emerge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just thinking about all the times the death card came up in a reading for me.
Right.
And for then myself something and happened. Then for a client. And just not just that, just the fear that came from it, from them, but the reassurance that it's like, I actually love when the death card shows up because it's just, it's a new beginning. It gives me kind of the same vibes as the Fool card, but more like you're seasoned. It's not like a beginner level kind of thing. It's more of like you learned your lesson. It's now the next chapter. There's nothing wrong with receiving the death card, not like the Tower card.
Yeah.
Tower card scares the shit out of me personally. Yeah.
We don't need to talk about that this month.
Yeah.
the death card, I think you're right. There is a seasoning to it. There's an integration of like lessons learned. There's a maturity that comes with it. Whereas the Fool card is this naivete about, you know, anything is possible. Whereas Scorpio and the death card hold the truth that sometimes life is really hard. Sometimes life is challenging, but sometimes through pain and suffering, we can be receptive to something new. So Scorpio, that energy is the dissolving of whatever has died or ended in some right. It's been deconstructed and it's making way for new energy. Maybe it's a new identity, a new relationship to come through. And I like to think of the sign of Scorpio as an invitation to let us release or let go of whatever is ready to be detached so that we can experience what is more true for us. So we can experience more of who we truly are. And you know, the visual of the Rider-Waite deck death card, I think is so perfect to kind of underline a lot of this Scorpio energy, because we see a this field that's got all these like dead people laying around there and all this, and all this like decaying, crops and plants and stuff. And then you see death arriving on this white horse, which is so significant because, you know, we see white horses in fairy tales, right? The image of a white horse showing up being the savior, you know, the Prince Charming. When a white horse or someone riding a white horse shows up, you immediately assume that's the good guy, right? And so in the card, the white horse is not a black one. So to me, that's very significant that the death arriving on the white horse is the unassuming prince. Death riding on the white horse is actually what is here to save us. It's not what we expected, but it's to save us from what is not real, what is to save us from what is corrupt, to save us from what is not true or honest in our lives, right? And so I just love that visual. And, you know, death is holding a banner of the mystic rose, which I believe is the symbol of life in represented in that card. And I love the little visual of the rendering of the child at the bottom of the card, who's looking up at death, offering a rose in their hands, offering a gift to death, you know, thanking them for this transformation. So I just feel like that card just so beautifully illustrates that there could be this unassumed blessing that comes with endings.
Very true.
Yeah. So Scorpio, the sign of emotional depth. They're also the sign attuned to the wisdom of the underworld. Scorpio is co-ruled by Mars and Pluto, which are the lords of the underworld. So they're very provocative. Scorpios tend to be quite mysterious. They're extremely private individuals, even though they are emotive. They tend to keep all of their emotions quite private. And as a water sign, Scorpio embodies the transformative power of feeling and intuition. But as the fixed sign that it is, it's also very steady and firm and resilient through life's challenges and hardships. So that's what makes them very loyal. If you have a Scorpio in your life, you know that they will fight for you. They are loyal. They are, you know, they have your back because Scorpios bond very deeply, very intimately with their friends and loved ones. I mean, these are the people that you can tell your secrets to, and they will hold those secrets for you. They are the people in your life that will just do whatever it takes, you know, to make sure that you have what you need, and they will fight to uncover the truth for self-preservation as well. And it's also important to remember that Scorpio is a feminine sign. So even though there is this assumed aggression with Scorpio, they're actually a receptive sign. So don't let that receptive quality fool you. They embody this energy of hope and renewal and transformation that occurs when we shine our light through the shadows or when we rise from the ashes. So it's being receptive to whatever is coming in for us, whatever we're ready for. So I just think that's, you know, it's kind of interesting. We oftentimes think of, you know, Mars is a masculine planet, but Scorpio is a feminine sign. There is this notion of being receptive to energy, being receptive to emotions, being open and malleable with feelings. And I feel like Scorpio, out of all of the signs, is the one that really bears witness to suffering. It's the sign that really holds space for pain. Scorpios, you know, if you have friends or family members who are Scorpios, they will hold space for your pain. They will hold space for your suffering. They really see you, and they see you through whatever challenge or hardships that you're facing. And they feel very deeply with what you've experienced. And kind of in contrast to Cancer, one of the sister water signs, Cancer also is really good at holding space for others, but they do so with the intention of nurturing, right? That motherly energy. Whereas Scorpio is like, I'm not here to coddle you. I'm not here to overly nurture you. I'm here to hold space and bear witness and validate your grief and your pain and the circumstance that you're going through, you're feeling. And it's that steadiness through plight and the loyalty that they embody that just makes them such devoted and loving partners. And I know you have a lot of Scorpios in your life, Erica, so you probably can.
I do.
You can probably attest to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I always said even before we kind of woke up to all of this, Tony was more, his energy was more of the, and I'm not bashing my husband by any means, but he was more of the feminine energy and I was more of the masculine energy. Mm-hmm. And then learning about the zodiac and everything, isn't Aquarius masculine?
Yeah. Aquarius is a masculine sign. Yep.
Yeah. And he's Scorpio. So
yeah.
You know, it does make sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So November is a very pivotal month for us because we have some energy that's going to be challenging, but we're also entering back into the eclipse portal. So we're going to be experiencing that acceleration of time, leaps into higher consciousness. We could be experiencing sudden changes and karmic realignments. So I often describe the eclipse portals as an entry point into a new way of being. So who knows what that's going to look like, but we're headed into that area. And what I also find really significant about this eclipse portal is that it's beginning our new storyline of the Taurus and Scorpio axis. So we've been in the Gemini Sagittarius eclipse axis for the last 18 months, and now we are moving into the Taurus Scorpio axis. So come 2022, the nodes will be shifting into Scorpio and Taurus. And so we're really going to be anchored into that fixed energy all next year, which we'll talk about in another episode, but it's definitely going to feel different. But let's dive into this month right away. It's November 1st as we're recording this. And tomorrow, November 2nd, Mercury finally leaves its shadow period, which I know probably feels like it's been, yeah, exactly. It's been retrograde and then shadow for like forever. But as of tomorrow, he'll be moving direct with no baggage. So Mercury in Scorpio and Sagittarius moves faster than any of the other signs. So it's going to be picking up movement and momentum very, very quickly through November. Okay. So it's going to be connecting in with its final square with Pluto between the second and the third, which could be potentially challenging. Mercury went retrograde at the degree that it's at on the second, which is 25 degrees. And that's going to be where it fixes into its square with Pluto, which we saw back in September. Now it's crossing back over this point where it went retrograde in Libra for the last time, which could dredge up some maybe old information that was previously hidden. Maybe there are secrets that are coming out into the open, maybe even like controversies or scandals being brought out into the public view or the news. I don't know, but this is kind of an intense, but also very short time period where things that are still lingering could be coming up to be released, to be seen, to be understood, and to be worked through. Mercury-Pluto transits can also be related to the complicated ethical topics or conversations about what we believe is ethical, which we see a lot of that on the news. I don't even need to get to into specifics. You guys know what I'm talking about, but that's a lot of what we've been kind of mulling over while Mercury has been in the sign of Libra. Now, November 4th, we have our new moon in Scorpio, which is happening at 12 degrees. This is a very significant new moon because the new moon is exactly opposite Uranus and Taurus at 12 degrees, down to, I think, about a 7-minute difference. Like, it is very tightly opposition. And so this has a heavy Uranian signature. This is a very intense lunar cycle that we're moving into that really defines the month in terms of the energy that we're going to be working with because of this Uranus opposition. So any moon cycle, and I think I've said this before on this podcast, any moon cycle, whether it's a new or full moon that has a Uranian signature, is usually very rapid. It's very accelerative in energy. It's very evolutionary, which can help us to release unhealthy forms of dependency or habits. So it does help us to further advance our growth and our evolution and create a healthier independence. But Uranus is also the rebellious planet. It's erratic. And so the energy here with this opposition wants to do its own thing. It doesn't want to be constrained. It doesn't, it wants to break any kind of conventional realities. It's very futuristically inspired, but to do so in a way that it feels like it can. So we could receive some very shocking or disruptive news during the new moon. It could feel very chaotic. It could feel very emotional. So this energy really sets the vibe for the month ahead for November. And some people may welcome this erratic energy with open arms because it does feel so liberative and in some ways revitalizing because it's kind of shaking us up from what maybe seems kind of stale or like the same old, same old. But for other people, it could feel really uncomfortable. So everyone, yeah. Erica's just
when
sighing.
Is this? When is this?
This is Thursday, November 4th, our new moon in Scorpio. Okay. Opposite Uranus and Taurus. So what is so significant about this is that we'll have the new moon opposite Uranus and Taurus, and then Mercury and Mars will also follow the moon in their opposition to Uranus. So this energy is going to be set off again and again. And this Uranus energy is also coming into its last square with Saturn. So it's also kind of, sparking off this tension between these two planets. So again, there's these themes during the new moon of releasing secrets. There could be surprises, shocking revelations. And this is fixed energy that we're talking about between Scorpio and Taurus, Uranus and Taurus. So this could also be like feeling resistance, like you're not making progress with people in your life. Maybe you're feeling kind of stuck, like you're not quite sure how to move forward. So it can also feel quite internal and internally reflective. It could feel quite emotionally charged and frustrated. So there's a lot to just be mindful of with this new moon. Venus is also going to be in her final degree of Sagittarius, which is when she's in Sagittarius, she's very blunt. She's all about speaking the truth. The truth must be told. So there is kind of this air of, expect the unexpected during this new moon on Thursday.
Oh, shit.
Here we go.
Oh, man. So do you not recommend maybe doing any sort of manifestation work during this time?
I would say if you're going to do manifestation work, during this new moon, just keep it flexible, keep it fluid. Really do an internal reflection here. This is not a very social new moon. This is a very internal one. I look at it more as like maybe less in the manifesting perspective for a new moon and more about the intention setting, what you want to accomplish during the next month, you know, during this next cycle of the moon, the lunar phase. So maybe think of it that way.
Okay. You hear that, guys?
Yes. November is a interesting month. So by the 5th, Venus will move into Capricorn, where she's going to be until March 5th. Venus will be in Capricorn until March 5th because she's going to go retrograde later next month. And so she's going to be moving back and forth. So she's going to be in this sign of Capricorn for a very long time, which is all about taking responsibility for the things that we are creating, taking responsibility for the things that are material or materialistic or have value in our life. It's working hard on our relationships and figuring out what's working and what's not, you know, what needs to go and what needs to stay. So just know that, I just want to point that out there about Venus's ingress into Capricorn, because she will be there for a really long time. March seems like, you know, forever until so, Mercury ingresses into Scorpio on November 6th. So our minds are naturally going to be wanting to kind of dive deep, look below the surface. This is very investigative, probing, Mercury. This is, very intuitive Mercury as well. He's very intuitive in the sign of Scorpio. So, you know, working on building your intuition, working on strengthening your psychic senses and your clairs might be something fun to work on this month, because naturally you're going to be kind of interested and attuned to that way of thinking and perceiving. So that might be something that people want to, you know, dive a little deeper into during the month of November. And then November 10th, we reach a challenging day. That's okay. Just what it is. November
10.
This is a challenging day because this Saturn is going to be squaring Mars. Not only that, we have Mars conjunct Mercury at 7 degrees of Scorpio, squaring the moon conjunct Saturn. So we have this T-square aspect that's going on. It's very tense energy. This energy can be great and supportive. And I want to talk about that first, because I do think it's important to not just only look at like what is challenging or, you know, uncomfortable about the energy, but also look and see like, how can we work with this? So this T-square, like I said, we've got Mercury and Mars in Scorpio conjunct, squaring the moon conjunct Saturn, squaring Uranus. So that's where this T-square is coming in. So this can be really good energy for mental focus and precision. Okay. So if this particular week, you really need to focus on something, maybe you need to study, maybe you really need to apply yourself responsibly, this is the energy to do it. Okay. If you need to communicate a message with principle, with power, maybe you're really getting your personal authority out there, this is the energy to do it, because there's a level of seriousness and also mental strength, mental fortitude that can really help you with putting that information out there or to focus the mind. So it can be very productive and very supportive with this transit. However, because of the square between Saturn, which is the authoritarian, and Mars, who is dignified in Scorpio, this can also be power struggles. Okay. Power struggles or misunderstandings or even arguments. I feel this as like the rigidity of the mind, since both planets are in fixed signs. Okay. When you've got two fixed signed planets squaring off, each of them is firmly rooted in their belief, their views, their prerogative, right? So it can feel very stubborn, even dogmatic, like I know better than you kind of energy. So just notice if you feel like you're pushing against other people and you're also being met with that same level of resistance, maybe it's important to take a step back and to see, where am I missing the bigger picture? Where do I need to be more adaptable? Where do I need to be a little bit more, allowing with possibilities or circumstances? So while I feel like this energy is very productive, I think it's also important not to just, you know, push too much. We need to leave room for change. If change comes up, to just flow with the energy instead of becoming entrenched by it. Because that's the other word that comes up for me when I look at this T-square, is like being in, everything is feeling entrenched, like really grounded, and not in a way that is necessarily like therapeutic, but more in a way that can be frustrating, because T-squares are tense. They give rise to incredible creativity, because they force us to take action. They force us to problem solve in a new way, to find new solutions, but it can also lead to an immense amount of pressure and tension. So it's a motivating aspect, but it's not an easy aspect. So just be aware of power struggles and stuff, any resistance that comes up for you on November 10th. Yes. November 12th, The sun is going to be trining Neptune. This is a great day to just daydream. If you want to really work on some manifestations, do it. You know, this is connecting ourselves with our higher selves, the higher mind, our more spiritual sense. And it feels very optimistic, this energy. This is looking out into a beautiful future and just dreaming about what those potentials could look like. So, you know, if you are someone that's really struggling perhaps with the energy this month, know that you've got some moments in between that you can really take advantage of. November 13th, the day after, we have Mercury opposite Uranus. And this to me is also breakthroughs. Okay. Creativity, mental flashes of insight. It's again, feeling connected to those higher futuristic possibilities. This feels really good to me, this energy. So November 12th and 13th, if you are someone that needs to plan perhaps the rest through the end of the year, maybe you've been dealing with writer's block or just kind of a lack of creativity or lack of inspiration, maybe get outside or do something to just kind of get your juices flowing, so to speak, and open up to creative possibility. November 7th, we have Mars opposite Uranus. So Mars will reach 12 degrees of Scorpio and oppose Uranus at 12 degrees of Taurus. We'll also see Venus in a trine with Uranus, and Saturn is going to be moving towards his final square with Uranus. This is, again, kind of tense energy, because this is very revolutionary energy. When we have Mars, the warrior, in opposition with Uranus, the rebellious change maker. Okay. These are very explosive energies. This is very revolutionary energy. This is fight at all costs for freedom and independence energy. So November 17th, this could be a challenging day. This could, you know, we could see sudden or volatile or even explosive energy. And this is also leading up to the full moon, which we're going to talk about in just a second. So I do feel like come the 17th, the energy is really going to build, and it could feel like you're walking on eggshells. So find time to ground and maybe stay off social media that week.
Do you think it has something to do with, like, as far as like politics are concerned?
I think, yes, there will be some political aspects. I mean, what I think is quite fascinating is that if you look at the president's chart, he has a lot of Scorpio energy. He's a Scorpio sun, and he also has Mars in Scorpio. And this is another topic for a completely different podcast. But looking at rulers or leaders of countries, oftentimes what happens in that president or that monarch's personal chart, because they are a head of state, will reflect also into the collective. And so the president does have a lot of opposition in his own chart, just because of the Scorpio energy that's getting lit up by Uranus. And so I do feel like there's this feeling of, you know, parts of the collective that like want things to move forward. They want things to continue. They're calling for change, and it's feeling like there's just no's, right? There are no's. They're not receiving the information that they want. They want things to change. How do we do that, right? And truly, these are circumstances that we've been, you know, dealing with for you know, honestly, the last 2 years, but really in 2021, especially once the vaccine came online last December, you know, there's been a lot of back and forth. So while I don't want to make predictions necessarily of any kind of political instances, I do think we are seeing how this is playing out, just in the general feeling about what's going on here in the United States. I mean, it's no lie if you go and look at the, and I'm not making, by the way, I'm not making a personal comment about the our president or the politics in general, but if you look online, if you go to the news, the approval rating for this administration has fallen significantly over the last couple of months. And so that's, I think, what we're seeing is people having expectations and those expectations aren't being fulfilled, or they're wanting things to happen and to change and it's not happening yet. And so they're feeling dissatisfied. They're feeling emotionally let down, right? And so what happens when people feel either suppressed or let down, they fight to make things happen or to change. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting how it all connects. A tangent, like I said, for another day. But yeah, all of this energy, this tension is building up to our full moon, which is our first eclipse for the back end of the year. This is November 19th. We have a partial lunar eclipse in the sign of Taurus at 26 degrees. This lunar eclipse, let me just pull up the chart so I'm also referencing what I'm seeing here. This eclipse is exactly trining Venus, trining Uranus. Uranus is squaring Mars, and Mercury is trining Neptune. There's a lot of energy that's going on with this eclipse. Now, I don't look at this eclipse as feeling particularly like volatile per se. It doesn't feel catastrophic or anything like that. So everyone, you can just breathe a little bit of a sigh of release. But because we do have this Uranus influence on this eclipse, that signature means that forces in our lives are going to change. Okay. With eclipses, it's always a sudden or shocking shift in a realignment. It can feel very karmic. It can feel very, very fast. It can feel very swift, even forcible in terms of these assertive realignments in our life. So it's very dynamic energy. And because of the Uranus piece on this, it's saying change is now. We need to change now. We need to evolve right now. Okay. There is no time to wait. It's time to do things differently. Mars is still in opposition to Uranus, and that really propels that momentum forward, that desire to like just keep going, to keep pushing, to keep making things happen, right? That propellative energy that wants to push us forward. So I do feel like this eclipse is a big turning point for each of us. Again, this is the eclipse cycle that's going to begin for us in 2022. Between the Taurus and Scorpio axis. But we also have, you know, Venus with her movement through Capricorn highlighted here during this full moon, which brings to light issues around love, around money, around values, you know, matters of the heart, things that we call or hold dear to us. And what's also interesting with eclipses is because they follow cycles or patterns, we can also take a look back into time and see, okay, the last time we had an eclipse around this point, what were we doing at that point in our lives? And what have we learned since then? So what we are building on during this full moon is whatever we were working through during 2013 and 2014. So just think back in time, what were you doing during that time in your life? What were you being like challenged with? What were you doing? I can tell you,
I was making babies.
Same. I was having kids. I had my first child during this time, yeah. 2013, 2014. I was trying to figure out motherhood. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, you and I both looking back and thinking, what have we learned since then? Right. What have we learned about ourselves? Which, I mean, honestly, so much has happened since then. Am I wrong? It's like,
oh man.
So
I've learned parenting is hard.
Yeah, I've also learned that. Weird, huh?
Yeah, real weird.
But even lessons, you know, of partnership, like how your relationships change, how your relationship with your spouse changes, your relationship with money. things that maybe you thought were important or, you know, valuable to you back at that point in your life in 2013, 2014, maybe now you look at it as like, gosh, those things don't really matter. I've learned through my life up until this point that actually those things don't matter. This is what matters instead. So we're building on those lessons that we worked through or we were beginning to work through during that time. So something to kind of, you know, keep in the back of your mind while you're doing your journaling or your reflections or however you want to honor the eclipse and the full moon on November 19th. But I do want to say that we have Jupiter squaring Mercury later in the full moon, which I feel like really helps to lift some of that intense energy. Jupiter always is the planet that reminds us to keep the faith, see the bigger picture. Jupiter provides that relief and that support to know that, yeah, it's hard right now. This energy is tense, but like, there's a reason for it. There's something good waiting for you. So, just continue on, you know, keep after it. Something good is coming. And so the last piece of the month, November 22nd, the sun moves into Sagittarius, which I always feel is kind of a sigh of relief. Like, oh man, we did all of this really heavy work during Scorpio season. We were really radically honest with ourselves, maybe blunt with others. You know, maybe we did some really intense shadow work. We sifted through some heavy shit, right? By the time we get to Sagittarius, it's that energy of optimism, the bigger picture. Okay, I see now why I had to go through those dark times. I see now what's possible, right? So there is this kind of uplifting energy about Sagittarius that we can look forward to. Although I don't want to get like overly optimistic about the end of the year, but it is kind of like a breath of fresh air once the sun shifts into Sag on November 22nd. Mercury will also move into Sagittarius that week on November 24th. So our minds are also going to be shifting into that more optimistic, philosophical frame of reference. Okay. So yeah, you know, the last week of November, come Thanksgiving, I do feel like we have a little bit of a break, from that really tense energy that we are feeling more at the beginning and midpoint of November. I mean, that's really where I see the contention looking at the charts. The end of the month, I do feel like we can kind of put the pieces together to see what's forming and what's moving us towards the end of the year and even what's kind of setting the stage for 2022. So, I'll just mention that Mercury will be conjunct the sun in Sagittarius on November 28th and 29th. And even though Mercury is considered debilitated in Sagittarius, there is a very inspired thinking with Mercury in Sag. If you know someone that has Mercury, this Mercury placement, Mercury in Sagittarius, they are someone that they speak in big ideas. They speak in big pictures. There is this very kind of philosophical quality of what's possible. So this can be a very insightful transit that can give us some clues about what might be coming up for us during the December eclipse, which is going to be occurring in the sign of Sagittarius, because that's also going to be occurring near these degree points. So, you know, just kind of maybe keep a journal. If you don't actively do that already, keep note of like, what's coming up for you at the end of November? What are you starting to feel inspired by? What is, what feels limiting to you? Also, what feels expansive to you? Just notice those themes or those ideas. Because again, that could give you a little bit of a peek into what the December eclipse might be helping to support you through in a bigger way.
Are we done?
We're done.
Okay. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I have to be honest.
I tried to lessen the blow. I will just say my Mercury is in Sag. So I am an eternal optimist. I like to deliver the message with a, you know, an air of optimism here. So no, I don't feel like it's all doom and gloom. November is just, you know, the beginning part of the month. It's challenging. There's going to be relationships that are going to feel like they're coming to a head. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be power struggles. But I say this as a reminder that this is what's coming up is nothing new. It's likely things that you and I, the collective we, have been working through this whole year. Okay. And now it's kind of like, oh, I've been working on this maybe more internally, and now I'm having it out. Now I'm putting it out there. Now I'm actually figuring out what I need to say, do, or how to move forward, right? So it is a little bit more disruptive in that sense when we bring things out into the open air. But sometimes when it comes to conflict, that's what has to happen, right? Sometimes we mm-hmm. need to say our piece. Sometimes we need to be humbled by someone else's piece. And I think that's important to remember is that, you know, 2021, I feel like there's been such a focus on truth in general, right? Seeking the truth. And also remembering that the truth isn't just one idea, one perspective. And the truth is not just what we hold to be true. Sometimes we have to be humbled by what someone else tells us is also true. And having that experience of having humbleness being brought into your perspective is important because it allows you to see things from a different way and it can teach you something. And when we resist having an open mind, when we resist seeing things from another vantage point, we also miss out on the opportunity to grow. So yeah, I think that there is healing to be had, but we got to go through, you know, we got to walk through the coals first. So
yeah, you got to feel to heal.
Exactly. You got it.
Okay. All right, guys, everybody stay good. Yeah. You know, just, you know, it's 2021. Like, all right. I'm not going to lie. I was like, oh fuck. I was holding my breath for a while. And then I was like, you're either like really making it a lot lighter or I think we're going to be okay. And I think that we just have to use discernment as always. I think that for me, what I've learned is knowing the energy, the collective energy, the astrological energy ahead of time, it gives you fair warning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It gives you fair warning to the things that could happen, the conflicts that can arise, so that when they do happen, it's not so much you could see it at a different vantage point.
Yeah. It's not so shocking. It's like, oh, I make this connection now. Right. It's not as, it doesn't feel as damaging, I guess, when we can expect that this is just what it is right now. And then you have the tools to work through it, or at least you can be open to expecting, okay, if this is going to be a challenging week, how can I care for myself? What can I do when everything else feels out of my control? Because reality is it's not in our control. We just have to work through with the hand of cards that we're being dealt. And that's something that, like, you know, it's been coming up for a lot of my clients that I've been, you know, helping and supporting through this year and now working on them with their transits for 2022 is seeing some of this challenging energy that's going to be coming up next year, but also seeing the points where they can really take advantage of beautiful, harmonious energy that's going to be going on in their chart, or that they can work with. And then for the pieces that might feel, you know, a little bit more, we'll say humbling, that can be a little bit more, you know, uncomfortable. When you have the perspective of knowing that that's what's coming up for you, it makes sense then when you have maybe an argument with a family member, or you have a situation with maybe someone that you work with, or you're feeling dissatisfied in an area of your life. And you're like, okay, this is the lesson that I'm supposed to be learning right now. This is in my divine timing. And now what can I do with it? Or what can I do with my circumstances?
Mm-hmm.
And it helps to feel like to be reminded that we still have choices, even when things feel really hard. We always have choices.
Yeah, we really do.
Yeah. Okay. So it'll be good. We'll be good.
All right. All right, guys, have a wonderful November. I'll see you next week. Thank you, Hannah, for, you know, not so much being the barrier of bad news, but giving us the heads up.
You're welcome.
All right.